backed up. There we go. So good to see everyone this morning. We have several with us that have been out for a while, some with illnesses, and we're thankful that they're well enough to be back with us. We miss them when they're gone. I'd like to talk to you this morning about a place of safety. If you've been seeing any of the news this past week, it's becoming more and more apparent that the world is not a safe place to live any longer for many people, including you and me. You never know what's going to happen, it seems like, these days. But this place of safety is in Christ. It's a place of safety. It's a place of peace. I couldn't help but think that, of course, it's different, but we've been studying from the book of Revelation and how the brothers and sisters of the first century, second and third centuries, what they had to deal with at the hands of persecution and Rome, and how difficult life was for them because they identified as a Christian and refused to be identified with Caesar worship and what Rome was demanding upon them. The world at that time was not safe for them. You might say it wasn't safe to be a Christian. There's places on the earth today that it's not safe to be a Christian. And if we understand the book of Revelation correctly, the time will come when it will not, again, be safe anywhere on earth to be a Christian. But we, like our brethren of the first, second, and third centuries, need to realize that indeed we are safe with Christ and to appreciate the peace that we have in Christ, that even in times of great turmoil and uncertainty, that Christian citizenship is not here on earth. We are looking forward and traveling forward to a land that God has prepared for us. This earth is not our home. We are preparing here for that home up there with Him. And while we are here on this earth, we realize that He's told us of our value and that we are the salt of the earth and we are the light of the world. And regardless of how seemingly peaceful or distressful life might be for us at any particular time in life, we are to continue to let our light shine and we are to continue to do our best to preserve the world and to save souls. And as we do that, we need to recognize and appreciate the great peace and safety that indeed we do have in Christ. In John 14 and verse 6, we know Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Are you in Christ? Are you on your way to the Father? You know, if you were going to travel from Bowling Green to Memphis, Tennessee, you'd have to get on the right road, wouldn't you? You'd have to be on the right route to get there. If you were to walk up to a bus or a train that said Detroit and got on that expecting to go to Memphis, you're not going to make it, are you? I am the way, the truth, and the life. The only way to the Father is through Him. Are you in Him? Do you hope to go to heaven? If you're entertaining a hope of heaven without being in Christ, you're just deceiving yourself. John 14 and verse 27, He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Brethren of the first century were troubled about many things, just like people today are troubled about many things. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." you are participating in my peace, the greatest peace, the only peace that matters. It doesn't matter if the world and the country that you live in is at peace or at war. What matters is that we are at peace in Christ with God. In John 15 and verse 7, Jesus said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will be my true disciples. You will have what you desire, and it shall be done to you." If you abide in me and my words abide in you, so many times we quote John 8 verses 31 and 32 there, and got started off on that. Abide in me. Abide in my word. You'll be my true disciples. Abide in me, and you will abide in my peace. You will have whatever you desire. What do you desire most of all? Have you ever thought about that? Do you desire to be at peace with Christ more than you desire anything else? Or are there other things that you desire? Do you desire the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life? Do you desire the things of the world? How much peace do you have? Especially when you think about the end of your life and judgment to come. Are you prepared for that? No, true peace is found only in Christ. In John 15 and verse 10, Jesus very plainly said, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love." A lot of people entertain the idea of abiding in the love of Christ. They recognize that God is love and that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. They would acknowledge that God is a God of love and they want to abide in his love, and they assume that they do. But here's the conditions of abiding in his love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, he said. Why do people think that they're an exception to this rule when the very Son of God was not an exception to the rule? To abide in the love of the Father, we must abide in his commandments. That's where safety is found. That's where peace is found. Romans 3 and 24 says, "Being justified freely by his grace through the